This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. 50 years ago, the United States Supreme Court declared the notion of separate but equal schooling unconstitutional. The Brown v. Board of Education decision said that separate was inherently unequal, but it took decades before many jurisdictions enforced the ruling and integrated schools. Busing became one of the most contentious means to speed up the process. Today, as part of NPR's examination of the legacy of the Brown decisions, Morning Edition begins a three-part series on busing and integration. In 1970, Charlotte, North Carolina, became the first school district to face court-ordered busing. 3 decades later, residents wonder whether it was worth the fight. NPR's Philip Davis reports from Charlotte.
Busing is alive and well in Charlotte these days. On a Friday afternoon at West Charlotte High School, 50 buses idle in the parking lot, ready to take hundreds of kids home. All told, about 90,000 kids countywide take buses each day.
Have a seat, please.
But today, in 2004, no student is being bused for racial diversity. Students get on buses either because they need the transportation or because they're attending magnet school programs they've voluntarily chosen. 11th grader Charlene Jones gets up at 5:15 every morning to get her bus to West Charlotte, which has an international baccalaureate program.
And West Charlotte is a very good school. It all depends on what kind of work you put into it.
Busing for desegregation ended in 2001. A 3-decade-long battle to integrate Charlotte schools had come to a close. The battle began in 1965. Two Charlotte parents, Darius and Vera Swan, were told their son James couldn't go to a nearby neighborhood school. He'd have to go to a black school farther away. So the Swans sued. The case, Swan versus Charlotte Mecklenburg Board of Education, meandered through the courts until 1969. That year, U.S. District Court Judge James McMillan shocked the city. He ruled in favor of the Swans.
This is a WBTV News special report.
McMillan ordered the school district to move immediately to desegregate, using all means available, including transporting students by bus. Busing began in Charlotte amid near chaos, as this newscast from The Time makes clear.
Tempers in the community began to heat up. Carmel Road and Quail Hollow Junior Highs were hit by vandalism, causing an estimated $40,000 in damages.
The experience was even more intense for the students on the buses. As the district was 70% white at the time, black students found themselves more often on buses, being sent to unfamiliar white schools.
It was a good long trip.
Gwen Harris today is a counselor at Thomasboro Elementary School in Charlotte. Harris recalled being bused out of her neighborhood to McClintock Junior High that first year.
It was something new. We never had to do this before. There was tension among races, and everybody was just tense. It was a very tense atmosphere.
There were frequent racial clashes. In the first 2 years, every high school had to close at some point due to rioting or bomb threats. But for many students, especially the youngest ones in grade school, desegregation went smoothly.
Where we are now is my bus stop for Hidden Valley, first day of school, 1970.
Eric McCaw is 43 years old now. He's a successful computer consultant. He recalled that the segregated school he first went to didn't even have enclosed hallways. The bus took him to a school with much better facilities and, more important, welcoming teachers, both black and white. A white teacher encouraged him to join activities like the school play.
All the white kids walked to school. You know, I rode the bus. And I told her, I said, no, I can't do it unless you can get me home. And she wrote a note to my folks. My folks wrote a note back, giving her permission to give me a ride home. So I felt included.
Busing worked in Charlotte because thousands of white children were bused as well, some from well-off families who refused to flee the public schools. Amy McMaster grew up in a wealthy, tree-lined neighborhood called Myers Park. She was bused to West Charlotte High School. Recently, in her SUV, she retraced her old route from her childhood bus stop at the corner of Eastover and Colville Roads into a decidedly more working-class neighborhood.
We're heading closer towards downtown, and then we'll take the freeway to go to West Charlotte.
When she pulls up to the parking lot of her alma mater, the sight of the high school brings up less than happy memories.
When you are bused to a school and there is fear from everyone involved, I think that your education suffered.
Despite the tensions, by the mid-70s, the violence had died down. Attendance patterns stabilized. Other cities used Charlotte's success at busing as a model for how to do desegregation right. McMaster says she felt at the time she was helping make the world a different place.
It was a tough experience, and I would do it all over again had I thought it made a difference for the public school system of Charlotte, North Carolina. But I question whether it really has made a difference.
Because today, West Charlotte High School is more than 80% black. Desegregation came under fire in the late 90s when a group of white parents, mainly newcomers, complained their kids couldn't get into their preferred schools because of race-based admissions policies. They filed suit and were victorious. In 2001, the U.S. Appeals Court for the 4th District in Richmond, Virginia, ruled that Charlotte schools were no longer segregated. The district was told that race-based school assignments were no longer allowed.
I found it very depressing.
Fry Gilliard is a longtime Charlotte newspaperman and author who has covered busing since the beginning.
You saw the price that had to be paid to integrate the schools, and you saw the benefits of that. And to see us come now where it's unclear if we'll find the resources or the political will to do right by the neediest kids in the system is really worrisome to me.
But many parents are happy busing for desegregation is over. Teresa Hermanson is co-president of a group called Parents for Education in Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. She says there's been more parental involvement since the ruling.
You had sort of a problem when you were busing, I think, that the parents were too far away from where their children's school was. It was hard for them to be involved in the school.
But with more parents now allowed to choose neighborhood schools, segregation levels have begun to rise. That's because while schools might have integrated, neighborhoods have not. Many of the new suburbs ringing Charlotte have few black residents. According to a study in U.S. News & World Report, the number of majority black schools in Charlotte shot up from 28 to 41 last year. And that worries longtime local observers like Fry Gilliard. He says desegregation was good for the city.
I think partly because of its success here, there was a huge sense of accomplishment in Charlotte, and people felt like the city could do anything. And, you know, the largest banks in the nation began to make their headquarters here and so forth.
But though busing has ended and there are now more racially identifiable schools, a curious thing has happened. Test scores for black children are still rising. There's still a big gap between black test scores and white test scores, but the gap in Charlotte is narrower than in other urban school districts like Houston, Los Angeles, and Chicago. That's according to a new study from the U.S. Department of Education. Charlotte's new superintendent, James Pugsley, who's black, says it's because the school district has now put its emphasis on achievement for all students and is pouring resources into schools in poorer, often minority neighborhoods.
Equal opportunity in terms of resources was what the initial effort was about. Today, I think it's about equal opportunity and equal results.
For Pugsley, racial diversity is still a goal worth pursuing. But at the end of the bus ride, he says, what matters most is that children continue to learn and learn at the highest level. Philip Davis, NPR News.
A video of a 1970 anti-busing rally in Charlotte is at npr.org.